does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. Coming up, I'm going to talk some soccer. Indy 11 start tomorrow. It's an exciting time to be in Indy and in the state. Watch some great soccer. Also, we've got some more basketball to talk about. Right now, though, it's a busy night. You're going to find out who's winning in the tournament. The man himself, the star of our show. It's Network Indiana's Corbin Lingenfelter.
Thank you, Coach. The Purdue fans, they can give a big sigh of relief as the Boilermakers are moving on after a 78-50 win over Grambling. Zach Edey finishes the day with 30 points, 21 rebounds, and 3 blocks. They join a number of other teams that have gone final today, including top-seeded UConn, 91-52 over Stetson. Marquette took down Western Kentucky, 87-69. Then Baylor defeated Colgate 92-67. One of the upsets today, 13th seeded Yale put up 78 points on 4th seeded Auburn and came away with a 78-76 victory. Duke is continuing to move forward with a 64-47 win over Vermont. UAB falls to last year's runner-up San Diego State 69-65. New Mexico falls to Clemson 77-56. The highest scoring game of the day was Colorado and Florida, and Colorado upsets the Gators 102-100. Northwestern moves on after a 77-65 win over Florida Atlantic, and Texas A&M ends Nebraska's season 98-83. Some other games that are currently happening right now. Charleston still trails Alabama, and frankly, this one's probably over, 95-67, as the Crimson Tide are up on Charleston. Games that just started, Houston starting off on a 10-0 run against Longwood. And James Madison, could we see another upset? They're up 9-2 on 5th seeded Wisconsin. James Madison is the 12th seeded team in this year's tournament. Coming up a little bit later on, you've got two more games today, TCU and Utah State. The winner of that game will play Purdue on Sunday. TCU is the 9th seed, Utah State the 8th seed. And then Grand Canyon as a 12th seed takes on St. Mary's as a 5th seed. We've also got the Women's College National Tournament happening right now, and a couple games that have gone final include Oregon State over Eastern Washington 73-51, top-seeded South Carolina 91 to Presbyterians 39, Texas over Drexel 82-42, Ohio State takes down Maine 80-57, LSU handles business against Rice 70-60, Virginia Tech 92, Marshall 49, Kansas State 78, Portland 65. Baylor 80, Vanderbilt 63, Colorado 86 to Drake's 72. And the one upset in women's college hoops today, Middle Tennessee State takes down Louisville 71-69. There is some Indiana teams playing. Those games will come tomorrow when Indiana will face off against Fairfield, and then also Notre Dame will face Kent State. Indiana and Fairfield is at 1:30. Notre Dame and Kent State is at 2:15. Just getting started and underway, the Indiana Pacers on the road to Golden State, and we'll have a score update for you here momentarily. We also have some news from the Major League Baseball as the MLB has officially opened an investigation into Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, who was fired this week for reportedly stealing a lot of money to pay some gambling paying debts. There's also a criminal investigation happening right now with that as well. In the NFL, Joe Flacco is officially an Indianapolis Colt. He signed his one-year deal earlier today as the former Super Bowl MVP and once starter will back up Anthony Richardson. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk in our 30th year on the air. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. In the midst of all the basketball, I want to talk some soccer. Yes, soccer. Indy 11 start their season tomorrow in Indianapolis. They take on Sacramento Republic. That's a 7 o'clock start at Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI with me. Sean McCauley, the head coach of the Indy 11. Coach, thank you so much for taking time. And it's time. We're close, are we not?
Yeah, we are. It's going to be exciting. It's a really good opportunity for us to get in front of our own fans. We've already played two games, and they've been on the road, so we're looking forward to getting back home.
Coach, can I give you some trivia here? Michael A. Carroll is one of my closest friends. I used to be the athletic director and basketball coach at IUPUI. And under my athletic director tenure, we started men's soccer at IUPUI. Mr. Carroll helped me raise the money to get that accomplished. And I will tell you, it's one of the best things I ever did. And it's one of the things of which I'm most proud, starting that program and to see where they are. And for them to build the stadium and name it after Mike and you guys there with the crowds and the success, it's a fun thing for a guy like me to see.
Yeah, well, you know, I really appreciate that because obviously it's going to be home for us for the next couple of years. And, you know, we're really excited because I know it provides a really good atmosphere for our players. And, you know, we're really pleased that that program got started because it's allowed us to have a home venue.
What's also, you talk about excited. How can you not be excited with the future, with building a brand new facility downtown and all the excitement that's going to create? I can't think of a better time to be a part of a franchise than where you are right now.
Yeah, you know, and you know, credit to everybody at the club and Ursel for having that vision of what he wants to give back to the people. You know. In the state regarding, you know, putting a real sort of soccer venue, specific venue in what is going to be such a good sporting area. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time for the club. And, you know, once that gets built, I'm sure it'll be one of the best in the country.
I'm sure it will be, too. All right, so let's talk about these two matches you played. Oakland Roots got you 2-1. You turn around and beat Memphis by the same score. So tell me your thoughts about your group after two ball games.
Yeah, you know, we're looking pretty good, and it's amazing because I felt we played really well in the game we got beat in Oakland. You know, that was a really solid, good performance for us. And then, you know, we went into the game last week with a lot of illness, and you know, we had a sickness bug run through us, and you know, we were thinking, you know, that might be quite damaging for us. And we went away from home, 8-hour bus ride, and got the game going, and we ended up being 2-0 up. They had a man sent off, and it's amazing how things can change for you. And you know, it's one of them things. If we keep just sticking to what we're good at and what we know, you know, probably good things are going to come for us.
You know, sometimes those 8-hour bus rides can serve as a real bonding opportunity, not to use a cliche, but it can, and guys kind of grow together. You're with one another. You have to rely on each other for a lot of different things. These things can be beneficial.
They can, and, you know, we mentioned that on the, you know, on the way down and on the way back. They are very, very much a slog that everybody has to get through, and we're all going through the exact same thing. Bonding-wise, I think that lasts for probably around the first hour and 30 minutes, and then people put their headphones on and want to get through it as fast as they can and fall asleep. But no, it is something that we all have to get through, and we've got, you know, a real good squad that doesn't want to have any excuses for anything, and you know, we know we've got to get through it, and we know we've got to perform at the end of it.
Sean McCauley, the coach of the Indy 11 with us. The Indy 11 start their season tomorrow at the Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI. That's a 7 o'clock start, right, Coach? 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's a 7 o'clock start, and it's against the Sacramento Republic. All right, Coach, I need you to hang on through a scoreboard update. Can you do that?
Yep.
Perfect. We're going to come back. I want to talk about your ball club and talk about this upcoming match. Again, we encourage everyone, go down. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful night. If you haven't been to Carroll Stadium, I can't imagine that you haven't been there. You're going to see some great soccer. They're playing well. They're going to continue to play well. You need to get there. Scoreboard update coming up. We'll come back and talk more Indy 11 on Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Starting in the NBA, Indiana is out in California taking on the Golden State Warriors. And right now, it's not looking too good for the boys in blue. Indiana currently trails Golden State 13-8, 8.5 left in the first quarter. Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, Andrew Nembhard, and Tyrese Haliburton all have scored for the Pacers, while Draymond Green is the second leading scorer for Golden State. He's got 4 points. Indiana, all their players on the floor only have 2 to this point. Over in men's college hoops action, Alabama is up 104-78 on Charleston. 3:13 left to go in the second half, so a lot of basketball still to be played. Houston's 10-point run to start the game came to an end, but they still hold a 10-point advantage over Longwood, 14-4. And perhaps another upset in the NCAA tournament, as James Madison has a 13-point lead on Wisconsin, 18-5, 9:58 to go in the first half. Other games coming up, the winner of TCU and Utah State will play Purdue. That game tips off at 10:30, and then also Grand Canyon and St. Mary's will tip off around 10:45. Purdue, speaking of which, moved on with a 78-50 win over Grambling State. Zach Edey put up 30 points and 21 rebounds in the win. Coming up tomorrow, the Indy 11 will take on the Sacramento Republic. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. We return to our conversation with Sean McCauley from the Indy 11. Coach, I apologize for my Hoosier slip when I said game instead of match. Please don't take it personally. Having coached basketball for 20-plus years and done this show for 30 years, I'm a hoopster, so their games, but for you guys, no. All right, you're 1-1, and you're playing tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Michael A. Carroll Stadium against the Sacramento Republic. Tell me, after those two matches that you've played, what do you like about this team, Coach?
You know, we're very, I would say, we've got a good depth to our squad. You know, I think we've tried to build to where, you know, we've got people that can play, you know, at any time, you know, so we've got cover in every position. And that's what we tried to build, because we're playing against a team tomorrow that is probably the most consistent over the last 2 or 3 years. Been really successful. They've got players who know the roles. They've, you know, consistently brought players back, you know, year after year. So everybody knows really what they're doing. So we're trying to build something similar where everybody knows what the role and responsibility is. And whoever's number gets called, it's a sort of next man up mentality. And we want to have that consistency like the successful teams in this league have had, you know, in the previous years.
You want to have consistency, but there are things over which you have no control, most notably injuries. So if you can avoid that, you got a chance to do this.
Yeah, you know, and obviously with all the science that's in the game now, and, you know, and players are becoming more and more intelligent to what's, you know, required, you know, in terms of all the work that they have to do away from the field. So you know, we try and reduce and minimise injuries, and we've got injury prevention programmes. We make sure that each player has, you know, the appropriate training through the week. But sometimes injuries, as you know, in being a coach, sometimes they're random events, and you know, when they happen, you have to just then call on the next player and, you know, make sure that he's prepared and ready to go.
I think that's, you know, in a sport like soccer, I think it's everybody understands that, listen, injuries are part of the game. I mean, it happens. It doesn't matter what level. People are going to get hurt. It's a collision sport. Those kinds of things happen. And so, you know, your chance, you need to be ready, because more than likely your chance is going to come up. Your opportunity is going to come up, and you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, you know, different to a lot of other sports as well, you know, we make a substitution and you're in, you've got to impact the game. It's not as if you can go on and then come off, and there's not many tactical, you know, sort of intermissions that we can have with the players. They've got to know the role, and that's got to be pre-planned a little bit. And, you know, when we make them changes for the players, you know, whether that be 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever they get, they're expected to then make an impact on the game, because that's the opportunity they've got to, you know, to stamp their, you know, game, their authority on the game, to be able to say, you know, pick me in the next game.
All right, so you like your depth. So what is it that keeps you awake at night worrying about this team you have?
Not much, really. You know, we prepare, you know, through the week, and then, you know, once they cross that white line, I am a big believer that it's up to them. You know, we can do so much work as coaches, like I said, as you know, and once the players cross that white, especially, like I said, in soccer, where we don't have timeouts, we don't have, you know, offensive, defensive, like different plays where you can speak to the players on the sideline.
Right.
Once they're in, they're in. And, you know, once they know the role and what we've got to trust them to make decisions. In terms of keeping me up at night, you know, what I do sort of want to happen is I want to make sure that when the supporters watch us play, they want to come back again next week. And that's what sort of drives me to make sure the players are constantly on the performance. I want them to almost play like they would like a supporter would if he got the chance to wear the jersey.
I hear people talk all the time about the experience of going out and watching the Indy 11. That it's great fun. Number one, the team is competitive. They play hard. They play well. Secondly, the atmosphere is tremendous. People who go really greatly enjoy the experience. And I know as a coach, it's got to be gratifying for you to be a part of an exciting and growing franchise in downtown. It's a great place to play. And you're bringing out crowds, and people are really into it.
Yeah, you know, and it's good because obviously this year it's our 11th anniversary. So it's like a celebratory sort of season for us, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of different promotions that are going to go on all season. Like tomorrow, the tickets are the price of the date. So the $3.23 tickets are available. You know, we've got fireworks. We've got former players coming down. There's an $11 merchandise item at the game. And these things will be going on all year, which I think is going to be great, you know, and that's the sort of thing that when you think about, you know, is there a chance of winning the championship this year? Well, maybe it could be written for us. I don't know, but we've got to make sure that we do our thing on the field and sort of give everything that we possibly have to try and bring a success, because I think all the work that's been done off the field to make sure that this is a really successful season for the supporters is definitely going to happen this year.
I would think in the position you're in, you have to be ecstatic about the fact that, you know, you're with a team that's, you know, on the fringe of building a state-of-the-art facility in a dynamic downtown urban area. You've got great guys that enjoy the game, love the game, and playing pretty well. A league in which you're competitive. I envy you, as a former coach, I envy you in the situation you're in, because you've got a lot of good things.
Yeah, it's soccer's a growing sport, and, you know, with everything that's happening, you know, in terms of, you know, the growth of the game, and then the World Cup's going to be, you know, here in 26. you know, it's a really exciting time. And like I said, I think Ursula's done a fantastic job in terms of making sure that we get that stadium. And it's sort of a little bit of a perfect storm where, you know, the team will move into that, you know, coupled with the fact that the US are going to be hosting the World Cup, the largest and greatest probably sporting event, you know, and it sort of matches in with, you know, growing the game for everybody in the state of Indiana, really, you know, and making sure that we're putting ourselves on the map.
All right, tomorrow night at Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI. They call it the Mike. Be there, 7 o'clock. The Indy 11 open up their home season with Sacramento Republic. Sean McCauley, thank you so much. Greg Rakestraw will call us tomorrow night with a post-game report. I expect it to be positive. I wish you the best. I hope we do this again. And thank you so much for taking time, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks for everything. And like I said, I hope we can do the stadium proud here and hope we get a result.
I'm sure you will. Coach, thanks so much and good luck.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you. Go down and watch some soccer downtown. To be busy, if you're going to come downtown, have some fun. You don't have any basketball tomorrow night, so you can have some fun. Go on the campus, plenty of places to park. Great stadium. Spent a lot of time there, and should be fun. Greg will join us tomorrow night and talk about what's going on. He's been the voice of the Indy 11 since they got started. All right, Corbin Lingenfelter, tell me what's going on hoop-wise.
Yeah, Coach, the Pacers have cut Golden State's lead down to 2, trail 24-22 in the first. And it looks like we finally do have a final from that Alabama game. It's now the highest scoring, 103-93
Yikes.
Final. Alabama moves on over Charleston.
All right. So we got more basketball. So coming up, everyone, scoreboard update with Corbin. He'll catch you up on scores. We'll update him throughout the night. Boilers with a win. That's good. We're glad to hear that. Don't forget, join us next weekend. I'm looking ahead. With the boys' basketball state finals, seems a little odd. I'm with you. I understand it. The boys' finals are next Saturday. Much more to talk about. Scoreboard update coming up with Corbin Lingenfelter. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. The Pacers came close, and then Golden State started making baskets. They're currently up 28-24 over the Blue and Gold. 3:13 left to go in the first quarter. Right now, Indiana only has two players on the floor who have scored points. Tyrese Haliburton with 2, TJ McConnell with 2 as well. And then for Golden State, though, they also have only 2 players on the floor with points being reported. As we take a look back at some college basketball scores, games happening right now. Houston leads Longwood 29-13. James Madison over Wisconsin 23-16. As we wrap up some other scores from earlier on today, Alabama takes down Charleston 109-93. UConn takes down Stetson 91-52. Purdue over Grambling 78-50. Marquette over Western Kentucky 87-69. Yale upsets Auburn 78-76. Duke moves on 64-47 over Vermont. Last year's runner-up San Diego State knocks off UAB by 4, 69-65. New Mexico falls to Clemson 77-56. Colorado upsets Florida 102-100. And Northwestern takes down Florida Atlantic 77-65. And the run for Nebraska comes to an end against Texas A&M. The Aggies put up 98 to the Cornhuskers 83. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their website. Kurt Darling, from the ISC Sports Network joins me. Hoosier State Relay Indoor Track Meet coming up tomorrow on the ISC Sports Network. Kurt, thanks so much for the call. The Hoosier Relay has been around for a long time. Tell me about this great event you get a chance to call tomorrow.
Yeah, Coach, it's going to be a long day, but an exciting day of indoor track and field. This is basically the capping off of the high school indoor season here in the state of Indiana, and it's capped off at the Hoosier State Relays. Going to be the first time that they're going to be hosting it at the brand-new indoor track and field facility at the Fall Creek Pavilion at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. So it is a premier track facility that that all these kids are certainly looking forward to running on. I actually got to call the Crossroads League Track and Field Championships there earlier this year. The place is immaculate, Coach. You can't think of any better place to cap off the indoor season here in the state of Indiana. And you're going to be doing the large school meet, the small school meet. It's going to be pretty exciting stuff to check out here for the entire day Saturday.
So do we expect a fast track? I mean, you know, brand new. Is it? Are the runners going to be breaking all kinds of records because of the facility and the newness of the facility? Do we anticipate that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely going to be some records that are actually going to be up for grabs. One in particular that actually jumps to mind here, Coach, as you mentioned it, it's going to be in the boys' 3,200-meter run in the large school meet. Now, you have two guys here by the name of Will Conway and Cameron Todd. Conway is from Floyd Central. Todd is from Brebeuf. The standing record in the 3,200 meters indoor, Coach, was set back in 1974 by Rudy Chapa of Hammond at 8 minutes 52 seconds. Both of those guys that I just mentioned before have seed times at 8:51. So that record is up for grabs this weekend, and you can't think of a better place. That's a fast place as well as this track as well. But the regardless of the performance, though, Coach, you're right. It's a brand-new track, so and it's also very quick. I've actually been able to run on it a little bit myself. I'm not as fast as I used to be, but still, it is certainly a very fun surface to run on. It's feels really, really good. So there's going to be some fast times and even some good heights as well.
So what was your event back in the day?
Well, in high school, I did I did pole vault and the 400 meters at Brownsburg High School. And then I had the privilege to go on and train at Indiana State University, where I trained for the decathlon. Right. I never actually got to compete in a decathlon because my career in radio decided to take off in college. So I had to focus more on that. But but being at that facility certainly makes me competing in high school, to say the least.
Again, I have the opportunity every week to interview Commissioner Neidig from the IHSAA for the IHSA Champions Network. And we talk about if you're a student athlete in the state of Indiana and it's time for championships, you are competing on world-class facilities in a lot of sports. I mean, think about it. Think about where everybody's playing their championships. And now you're talking about, again, one of the premier indoor facilities in the country where they're able to compete for the indoor. I mean, I think it's just amazing, and a credit to the IHSAA and the member institutions for being a part of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Coach. And it is certainly a step up in facility grade as far as we're concerned when we're talking about the Fall Creek Pavilion. But you also have to tip your hat as well to the previous host sites that have hosted this meet over the 60 years that it's been in existence. In particular, you have Gladstone Fieldhouse down at Bloomington, which is, of course, where the Indiana Hoosiers basketball team used to play their games before they moved over to Assembly Hall. But they have had a permanent indoor track and field facility there that has hosted this meet on again and off again over the last several years. That's where I competed in high school, an excellent facility. Also Purdue's indoor facility as well. They've hosted this meet time and time again as well. And so those are really, really good facilities that the IHSA has really been able to work with, as well as the Hoosier State Relays, the governing body of this particular meet. They've been able to work with these particular colleges to really host a really good event. But this is going to take it to the next level, Coach. You have a really good facility, great place for people to actually watch the competition. And to add perspective, Coach, it's like when Governor Holcomb christened this facility earlier this year. I mean, he was, late last year, he was expecting some big meets as far as maybe possibly some U.S. Mm-hmm. track and field championships, maybe some world championships. It's that good of a facility, though. Just so we just got to break it in a little bit, and it's going to be a really good place to set some good marks as we get into the outdoor season for track and field here after this weekend.
Who's your relays tomorrow out at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in the Fall Creek Pavilion? All right, tell me who the favorites are. Who are the big school favorites tomorrow in the meet? This will be on the ISC Sports Network, by the way, when Kurt will have the call on. So who are the favorites in the big school category?
Well, right now, Coach, as things are scoring out, as we can look at it, it's going to be quite a toss-up in the large school meet. Brownsburg is the defending champion from last year. They beat Carmel by 1 point last year to win the large school meet. Mm-hmm. So they are certainly going to be a contender as well. Fishers, Carmel, a lot of the Hoosier Crossroads Conference schools are going to be the big ones on the boys' side. On the girls' side, same thing. You're going to have a lot of competition from the Hoosier Crossroads Conference. North Central will be in there as well. Carmel was the winner last year in the large school meet. But in the small school meet, Coach, it's not as ambiguous. Bishop Chittard is dominant this year on both the boys' and girls' sides. They have a lot of competitors and a lot of different events. They are going to be tough to beat next year, tough to beat this year on both the boys' and girls' sides. So we'll see how that plays out. It should be pretty exciting how the scoring shakes out on both meets.
What time can they catch you on the ISC network tomorrow?
So we start tomorrow at 9 o'clock with the small school meet. We will have coverage of that until about 2 o'clock, and then we continue stuff after we get a little bit of a break. 3 o'clock Eastern, you're going to be getting coverage of a large school meet to close out the day. So it'll be a long day of broadcasting, and my broadcast partner, the newly minted Hall of Famer Pete Smith, will be my color commentator as well. So he'll be so he and I will have a lot of fun tomorrow.
I'm honored to be your broadcast partner on the 2A championship for boys next week. That should be a lot of fun. Let's talk about that game if you don't mind. I happen to think
absolutely.
This is my personal favorite for all the four games. This is my favorite one, Brownstown Central and Wapahani. I love this game.
Yeah, Coach, and one reason why I'm certainly excited about it, too, is that it's the only one of the four matchups this coming weekend that is one versus two. You have Brownstown Central ranked number one in Class 2A. Wapahani ranked number two. Coach, these two teams actually match up really well in spite of what you might see just on the raw numbers from the roster. I mean, Brownstown Central shooting 49% from the season on the field. Same thing for Wapahani, but Wapahani has one of the best defensive averages in the entire state, and that's going to be really tough for Brownstown Central to come up with, especially after the ringer they went through at the Southport Semi-State where they went through Park Tudor and Park Heritage. But Wapahani, man, they're coming off of a really emotional win over a good Blackhawk Christian team where they won in overtime, but they went to overtime on a final last-second shot. And Isaac Andrews is certainly one of the guys that has really flown under the radar, but is also a really good player for Wapahani. And just to kind of illustrate that as well, Coach, you might know a guy by the name of Ron Bonham from the Muncie area. He was the all-time leading scorer for that area. Well, Isaac Andrews surpassed him at that semi-state for all-time leading scorer in the area of Muncie and Delaware County. So that just goes to show you how big of an effort that is for him. But he's going to go up against Jack Bender, who is a Mr. Basketball contender of Brownstown Central. Right. Coach, this is going to be an exciting game coming up next Saturday.
All right, I need you to hang on through this scoreboard update because there I want to already start exploring some of these storylines that you and I are going to be able to talk about. Can you do that? I know you're busy and you got a lot of work to do tomorrow, but hang in here through this scoreboard update, okay?
Anything for you, Coach.
Well, you're too kind. Kurt Darling and I will come back and talk more. 2A boys basketball state championship. We're doing it on the radio part of the network next Saturday. That's Brownstown Central and Wapahani. Scoreboard update with the man himself, Corbin Lingenfelter, talking NCAA basketball when we come back on Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. After tying the game at the end of the first quarter, the Indiana Pacers are back to trailing Golden State 48-41, 9:37 to go in the second quarter. Right now, it's Jalen Smith leading the Pacers on the floor in points scored. He's got 5 points, going 2-for-2 from the field, 1-for-1 from the three-point line. And then in men's college hoops, Houston is up big, 43-16 over 16th seeded Longwood, and it's actually 43-16 now at the end of the first half. As we move down to James Madison, 33-20 leaders over Wisconsin. In the first quarter, Utah State is trailing TCU 16-10, and one more game to get started here a little bit later on. They're estimating around 10:57, 12th ranked Grand Canyon against 5th-ranked St. Mary's. Purdue moves on with a 78-50 win over Grambling State. Zach Edey put up 30 points and 21 rebounds. And to put this into perspective, Grambling State only had 23 rebounds as a team. Other games from earlier on, Marquette downs Western Kentucky 87-69. Yale upsets Auburn 78-76. And another upset was Colorado over Florida 102-100. Texas A&M ends Nebraska's season 98-83. Take one last look at the Pacers, 56-48. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We return to my broadcast partner coming up next Saturday for the IHSAA Boys 2A Championship. Kurt Darling rejoins us. He'll be the guy in charge. I'll just be along for the ride. And we're on the IHSAA Champions Radio Network with the Brownstown Central Wapahani matchup. Kurt mentioned this is number one versus number two. There's some great storylines. One that strikes me as really significant, Kurt, is that, you know, Wapahani up in Selma, they were struck by a tornado. And these guys, on Friday night before they play in the semi-state, have a tornado ravage their town. Small town, everybody knows everybody. Lots of damage, thank goodness, no loss of life. And the situation where they got to get on a bus the next morning and go play for a semi-state championship. And then they're able to do that and put that aside and win a basketball game and then come back. And 500 or so people are downtown celebrating the championship with them. I can't imagine anything more emotional than what those guys did and provided for their own community. It's just a really touching, very, very moving story, quite frankly.
It just kind of goes to show you the power of sport when it comes to healing, right? It's just it's certainly it's certainly been a tumultuous time for the people there in Randolph and Delaware counties, and Selma in particular, along with Winchester as well. It was an EF3 tornado that hit the Selma and Winchester area there last Thursday. And, of course, I've been able to cover a lot of this with my regular job as, you know, working in the Network Indiana newsroom as well as with WIBC. And, you mentioned it, Coach. Thankfully, there was no loss of life and everything, but there were, upwards of 100 homes damaged, and then maybe about a dozen or so that were completely destroyed when that tornado went through Selma and Winchester area. So, and you're right, Coach. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The fact that that Wapahani, you know, they were already on a roll coming into this postseason, but then to be hit with a huge curveball that comes off the court as well to just kind of keep that momentum rolling, just kind of really speaks to the fact that this team is very headstrong and very family-minded. In fact, that's what Coach Matt Luce told me when I was talking with him at the IHSA Media Days on Monday, is the fact that this team is so – he says this team is so locked in mentally – both on the court and off the court. And you saw that put into practice to a T when it came to all of the stuff that they were dealing with heading into that semi-state weekend.
Basketball-wise, it's a great matchup because these are two very, very efficient offensive teams. And there are also two teams that guard you. I think it gets lost a little bit. You know, it's a veteran group at Wapahani. I've been around, played together since they were little kids. Brownstown Central, the main storyline there is Jack Benner, who's headed to Purdue. His dad, David, had a stellar career in Brownstown, went on and played great basketball at Hanover. And there are just so many neat things about this game. I wish it would hurry up and we could play it next Saturday. I wish we'd hurry up and get to that time.
No kidding. Either fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, the NCAA tournament decided to kind of put a little bit of a pause on that for us this weekend here in Indianapolis. Obviously, some great games. But you're right, Coach. As I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, Wapahani, they boast the seventh best defensive percentage in the entire state. And that's regardless of class, mind you. They're only giving up 40 points a contest. But Brownstown Central's defense is just as good, only 6 points to the worst in that regard on that, as at 46 points per game. But one interesting note here that I certainly learned from Coach Matt Luce when I was talking to him at Media Days on Monday, Jack Benter and Isaac Andrews, of course, Andrews of Wapahani, Benter of Brownstown Central, they're AAU teammates during the offseason. They play for the same AAU team. So right. I asked him, you know, does that kind of give you a little bit of an advantage? And he's like, well, I mean, the enemy you know is certainly worth better than the enemy that you don't, is kind of the way that it would kind of go about that. So, but the fact that they are able to know each other like that, certainly gives them a little bit of perspective,
Kurt,
when they're preparing for this team.
Yeah. Kurt, darling, I got to run. I'll talk to you next weekend. Thanks for the call. Have fun tomorrow. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Corbin Lingenfelter, are you with me?
Yeah, Coach, I am. What's going on?
I cannot wait until the top of the hour. I need more scores. What's up with the Pacers?
Right now, it's not looking good. 62-54. Golden State has outscored Indiana 24-16 with 4:33 left to go here in the second quarter.
So they're on this West Coast swing. When do they play the Lakers? They play Lakers Sunday?
That would be Sunday, yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, Golden State putting some things together right now. Tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tough road trip. There's no question. And it's just it's a long, long year. So, upsets tonight in NCAA basketball. Did we have some?
Yeah, we did. We had that Yale over Auburn upset, 78-76.
Yeah.
The 13th seed downs the 4th seed. Colorado upsetting Florida 102-100.
I watched that game. That was fun.
Yeah. And then Northwestern upset Florida Atlantic 77-65. And Texas A&M upsetted Nebraska 98-83.
Yikes. So I don't do brackets because of, you know, all the years I was in the business and you couldn't do it. And so I've just gotten the habit of not doing it. But a whole lot of brackets were upset today, were they not, with the games you're talking about? Especially with some of the games you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what I saw yesterday was after Kentucky's loss to Oakland, only less than 1% of brackets remained perfect through ESPN's bracket challenge. So I don't do brackets either, and I'm sure glad I didn't, because I definitely would have taken Kentucky in that game.
Well, I worked in the Horizon League office for 7 years. I was in charge of all the basketball. And so I understand what goes in to this whole deal. It's interesting. You know, when you have a team like an Oakland beat a Kentucky, people say, well, how can that happen? Well, I can tell you how it can happen. Number one, it's a neutral site. Number two, these are referees not assigned by the power conferences. They're assigned by the NCAA. And so you take that off the table right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're out there in the bright lights and you're playing and you're taking on you're overwhelming underdog, and you get the impetus out of that. Happens every year in the tournament. Every year there's some kind of there's some crazy upset that no one saw. This one just happened to be Oakland beating Kentucky. It's a great story. Greg Campy, tremendous coach. I did the IUPUI Oakland game on TV with Greg Rakestraw. I saw them. I liked them. I liked them a lot. The goalkeeper kid didn't have the night that he had against Kentucky, but you could tell he was capable of. You needed to guard him. You needed to guard him hard. All right. Top of the hour scoreboard update coming up with Corbin. We're back on Indiana Sports Talk.